devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Trinadapi sunichena turad iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 eva kivalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. We are here in Sri Kundan Loka, the final program for the year 2013. Tonight we will finish the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the 14th chapter is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. We will pick up from verse number 19, but first I will give a little introduction to this topic of the three modes. So there are three modes known as goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we learn from Srila Prabhupada, and I learned it through Krishna book, that in charge of these three modes is a particular personality. The mode of passion is taken charge of by Lord Brahma, the creator, or the engineer of the universe. The mode of ignorance, or darkness, is taken charge of by Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of the Vaishnavas, and his specific function is to cause the destruction when it is ordered by God. And then the mode of goodness is taken over by Lord Vishnu. In passion there is creation, in ignorance there is destruction, but in the mode of goodness there is maintenance, and that is the hardest of all three. And Lord Vishnu takes charge of that maintenance in the mode of goodness. So now we'll pick up from text number 19. If you'd be so kind as to repeat. Nanyang gunebhya kartarang yada drastan upashyati gunebhya chaparang veti madbhavam so digachati. And now the word for word meanings. Na, no. Anyam, other. Gunebhya, than the qualities. Kartaram, performer. Yada, when. Drashta, a seer. Anupashyati, sees properly. Gunebhya, to the modes of nature. Cha, and. Param, transcendental. Veti, knows. Matbhavam, to my spiritual nature. Sa, he, arigachati, is promoted. Before we go to the translation, I am reminded of a instruction from Srila Prabhupada. He says that by looking at the word for word, you can derive many things to preach about. So the one that strikes my fancy is this word, matbhavam, to my spiritual nature. Krishna's spiritual nature is Satchid ananda. His nature is to be eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the spirit soul, who is part and parcel of Krishna, also has that nature to be eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Is the door open, Vishnu Kumar? Because I heard somebody knock. Okay. So when we become Krishna conscious, then we also regain our eternality and our blissful and knowledgeable position. Translation, please repeat. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these three modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. And let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport. One can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn this science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes, but when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the 7th chapter that one who has surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. So that verse in the 7th chapter that Srila Prabhupada is referring to, Daivi hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam torantite. Chapter 7, verse number 14. Krishna says that my material energy is very difficult to overcome. In other translations, he says it is insurmountable. But one who has surrendered to Krishna, he can easily cross beyond it. So the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. And the method by which one surrenders to Krishna is called devotional service, bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga, or Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is the idea of Krishna Kumar Das's favorite verse, that, my dear Arjuna, you should go on thinking of me, remembering me, but at the same time, execute your prescribed duty of fighting. So everyone is to execute their prescribed duty and at the same time remembering Krishna. Let us go now to text number 20. Guna netan natityatrin dehi deha samudbhavan janma mrityu jara dukhair vimuktam ritam ashnute. Word for word meanings. Gunan, qualities. Etan, all these. Atitya, transcending. Trin, three. Dehi, the embodied. Deha, the body. Samudhavan, produced of. Janma, of birth. Mrityu, death. Jara, and old age. Dukhai, the distresses. Vimukta, being freed from. Amritam, nectar. Ashnute, he enjoys. So, in these word-for-word meanings, we see words that we also saw in chapter 2, Dehi and Deha. Deha, the body, and Dehi, the embodied. So what is embodied? The soul is embodied. We learned this very early in chapter 2. And also, a common theme of Prabhupada, Janma Mrityu Jara, the miseries of material existence, birth, death, and old age. All of us in this room are now experiencing Jara. We are becoming very, very well acquainted with Jara. Now, another word here, amritam ashnute. He enjoys nectar. So, in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life, there is enjoyment. Many people think that spiritual life means no enjoyment, that you simply perform austerities and penances, and there's no enjoyment. But Bhagavad Gita says no. There is nectar to be enjoyed in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. Let us go to the translation. And could you please repeat? When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. Now, what I find interesting here is that the three modes are associated with the body. They're not associated with the soul. The three modes only have jurisdiction over the body. But if you can transcend these modes, then you can enjoy nectar in this life. And the whole scheme of Bhagavad Gita is how to transcend these modes of nature. Because Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature. In chapter 2, we saw that Krishna was telling Arjuna, you should transcend the Vedas. Because he said the Vedas mostly deal with the three modes of nature. Arjuna, you should become transcendental. That was what Krishna said in chapter 2. So by studying Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, which you are reading now, you are studying Srimad, by reading those books, you are going to learn how to transcend birth, death, old age, and their distresses. Let us go to the purport. How one can stay in the transcendental position, even in this body, in full Krishna consciousness, is explained in this verse. The Sanskrit word dehi means embodied. Although one is within this material body, by his advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can be free from the influence of the modes of nature. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life, even in this body, because after leaving this body, he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. But even in this body, he can enjoy spiritual happiness. In other words, devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the sign of liberation from material entanglement. And this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is freed from the influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. So the verse Prabhupada is referring to is where Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. That's 1854. That's the verse Prabhupada is referring to. That when you, what is it, Brahma Bhuta, you become joyful, you become free from hankering and lamenting, you see everyone equally, in that state, Krishna says, you can attain devotional service unto me. All right? Let us go to text number 21. Please repeat. Arjuna uvacha kayalingai stringuna netan atito bhavati prabho kimachara katang chaitangs tringunan ativartate. Word for word. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, kai, by which, lingai, symptoms, treen, three, gunan, qualities, etan, all these, atita, having transcended, bhavati, is, prabho, O my Lord, kim, what, achar, behavior, katham, how, cha, also, etan, these, treen, three, gunan, qualities, ativartate, transcends. Very good. So Arjuna is asking a question in this verse. Please repeat. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature? So, of the three questions, the one to me that is most important, right? So, what are the three questions? What are the symptoms of one who has transcended? What is that person's behavior? And how does he transcend? For me, the most important question is, how does he transcend? Because if you know how to transcend, then you'll know everything else. So, to me, that question of the three is most important. So let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, Arjuna's questions are very appropriate. He wants to know the symptoms of a person who has already transcended the material modes. He first inquires of the symptoms of such a transcendental person. This was very similar to what he said in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Arjuna asked a pretty much similar question. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is merged in transcendence? So that was already asked in chapter 2. The second question asks how he lives and what his activities are. Are they regulated or non-regulated? Then Arjuna inquires of the means by which he can attain the transcendental nature. That is very important. So I think Prabhupada confirms my leaning to that third question. Unless one knows the direct means by which one can be situated always transcendentally, there is no possibility of showing the symptoms. So all these questions put by Arjuna are very important, and the Lord answers them. Text number 22 through 25. Please repeat, my dear fellow devotees, on New Year's Eve. You are to be congratulated that you have decided to spend New Year's Eve in Krishna consciousness. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Prakashakam cha Vrivittam cha Mohameva cha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravrittani Nanavrittani Kangshati Udasina Vadasino Gunaryona Vichalyate Gunar Vatanta Ityevam Yovatishtatinengate Samadhuka Sukha Svasta Samaloshtash Makanjana Tulya Priya Priya Dhiras Tulya Nindatma Sangstuti Mana Pamanayos Tulyas Tulya Mitrari Pakshayo Savarambha Parityagi Gunatita Sauchyate. Word for word meanings. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prakasham, illumination, cha, and pravrittim, attachment, cha, and moham, illusion, evacha, also, pandava, O son of Pandu, nadveshti, does not hate, sampravrittani, although developed, nanavrittani, nor stopping development, kangshati, desires, udasinavat, as if neutral, asina, situated, gunai, by the qualities, ya, one who, na, never, vichalyate, is agitated, guna, the qualities, vartante, are acting, iti evam, knowing thus, ya, one who, avatishtati, remains, na, never, ingate, flickers, sama, equal, dukha, in distress, sukha, and happiness, svastha, being situated in himself, sama equally, loshta a lump of earth, ashma stone, kanjana gold, tulya equally disposed, priya to the dear, apriya and the undesirable, dhira steady, tulya equal, ninda in defamation, atma sangstuti and praise of himself, mana in honor, apamanayo and dishonor, tulya equal, mitra of friends, ari and enemies, pakshayo to the parties, sarva of all, arambha endeavors, parityagi renouncer, guna atita transcendental to the material modes of nature, sa hi uchyate is said to be. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion, when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed, through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon the lump of earth, a stone and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Purport. Arjuna submitted three different questions, and the Lord answers them one after another. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he is actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he only acts for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but as spirit soul, the self is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. I'm reminded of that Brahmana who Lord Chaitanya met, who had leprosy. Was his name Vasudev? And it was described that if a worm came out of his body, he would pick it up and put it back in the body. So when I just read this, that's immediately what I remembered. How advanced Vasudev, he was a Brahmin, right? And then when Lord Chaitanya embraced him, the leprosy went away, yes? So I wish, I pray that Lord Chaitanya embraces all of you so that whatever bad things are there, they go away. May Lord Chaitanya embrace you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I'm seeing that painting that was there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's continue. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. The materially situated person is affected by so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body. But the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness and does not mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. This reminds me of Haridas Thakur. I read recently about Haridas Thakur, and he's a good example of this. When he was sent to jail, he was not disturbed. He was preaching in the jail. And when they beat him in 22 marketplaces, and the Muslim people said, "We've beaten you in 22 marketplaces. How come you don't die? We're going to get beaten." So Harida, "Oh, okay, you want me to die? Okay." Out of compassion for those who were beating him, he faked his own death. Unbelievable. And he was preaching to the prisoners in jail. All the prisoners were very happy to see Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur blessed them. And he said, "May you remain as you are." And they went, "What? We want to get..." But Haridas said, "No. I could not wish you anything bad. All I was saying was, right now you're in Krishna consciousness. So I want you to remain in Krishna consciousness." And then he said, "Soon you will come out of this jail, don't worry, but you should remain Krishna conscious." And this morning we read from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya is speaking to his mother, and he's speaking like in the same way that Kapila spoke to Devahuti, and he was going in depth about the soul in the mother's womb. And how the soul begs Krishna, "Please deliver me and let me remain in Krishna consciousness." Very good. By the association of devotees, different things I beget inspired. So thank you for coming and inspiring me. I am in great ecstasy today. Thank you for your mercy. He accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or gold. He takes everyone as his dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness. And he does not hate his so-called enemy. He is equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level, because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him, because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he does not attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.